So what we've seen since the beginning of this latest war on Gaza, which has been exceptionally apocalyptic, it has consisted of ultimately what are fantastical and idealistic aims by the Israelis, what they perceive to be for the greater good, which is the driving of the Palestinians out of Gaza into the Sinai. That is part of a general push to expand the Zionist project. Now, Britain has had a very duplicitous role because on one side, it has attempted to depict itself as somehow respecting the norms of international law, while at the same point, as has been revealed in the last few days, David Cameron, the foreign minister, who himself was a patron of the Jewish National Fund, which is the largest settlement building body in Palestine, he left his position as a patron when he became prime minister before. But that clearly would give anyone the reasonable perception that he has a conflict of interest, especially when you consider that, or at least he had a conflict of interest. The JNF had on as an other patrons Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli president as well, and still does. So for David Cameron to have that relationship and then go into the role as foreign minister, there would be serious question marks in any seriously functioning media and political system. But what happened is David Cameron goes into that role, he then receives advice. He receives advice on the 10th of December that sending weapons to Israel would not be wise and would likely lead to those weapons being used for violations of international humanitarian law. Now, David Cameron okayed those transactions to go ahead on the 10th of December. That clearly puts a level of complicity with what has happened in Gaza on the British government. Let's not forget that the Apache helicopters that Israel used, they contain components that come from British companies that are produced here. The F-16 fighter jets that Israel used contain the targeting technology from BAE Systems, which is Britain's largest arms manufacturer. Britain has sold sniper rifle components and sniper rifles to the Israelis in the last decade or so, and more recently than that. So therefore, when we see these Christian women in Gaza who were shot inside a church where they were displaced and sheltering with sniper rifles, it's entirely possible that those sniper rifles came from the British government. In addition to that, you see so many ways in which Britain is aiding Israel's campaign. For instance, it's recently been revealed by Declassified UK that there have been 50 surveillance flights which have gone above Gaza by RAF R1 Shadow spy planes. Now, one of the specialities of those spy planes is targeting acquisition, which could lead us to believe that Britain has had a role in assisting Israeli airstrikes. Now, those 50 flights have gone every day since the middle of December. Now, what you have to question is the British claim that these flights were sent to assist in hostage rescue. Now, Israel claims that that's one of its military objectives. So Britain is therefore assisting Israel in one of its key military objectives with a spy plane over the top of Gaza. In addition to that, you have the bases that Britain has in Cyprus, which occupy 3% of the land in Cyprus. Britain, according to the British High Commissioner, completely control that territory. The governments in Cyprus have no control of what the British do from those bases, apparently. The British have also sent, from the beginning of the war in October, an exponential increase in flights went with carrier planes from that place. We also know that the US used that base to send weapons to the Israelis. The US have provided Israel with tens of thousands of tons of weapons throughout this campaign. The US have sent targeting officers from the Air Force to assist Israel with targeting, as was revealed by The Intercept several days ago. So what we're talking about here is Britain, Israel, and the United States in the region acting as one hand. And that's not just war on Gaza. It's airstrikes on Syria when they want them. It's airstrikes on Yemen. It's airstrikes inside Iraq. So what you're talking about is there are established mechanisms within the region which are fighting back against Israel. Yes, it's an asymmetric war, but those mechanisms exist. And Britain and the United States are scrambling to try and disguise what their role has been in this war and continues to be. Even when you look at the very first ship, the Central Park vessel, which was taken by the Yemeni armed forces in the Red Sea, that ship belonged to Zodiac Maritime, which was revealed by the Times newspaper in 2011 to be acting as a front for Israeli intelligence services, ferrying elite agents across the region to carry out assassinations. That's according to the Times newspaper, not me. You've got a problem with it, take it up with them. Zodiac Maritime not only continued to operate as a British registered company, right, owned by the Offer family, one of the richest families in Israel, but British, an outgrowth of the British Ministry of Defence, provide protection to Zodiac Maritime ships, which is Ambry International, which contains several former high-ranking employees from the Ministry of Defence within its ranks. So therefore, we can only draw the conclusion that Britain has a key role. You know, former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, asserted that Britain is sharing signals intelligence that it receives from its bases with the Israelis on a daily basis. Meaning Britain has a key role in all of this that's going on. We have to get real here, and it's fine for us to appeal to the British political elite to call for a ceasefire, but they are direct participants in this war.